And good evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you from a beautiful radio ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. And we are smack dab in the middle of winter out here for sure. It is February 2nd, 2017. Let me make sure I got that date right. Yeah, it's been the 2nd all day today, so that's what it still is. Hard to believe we're already into February, but you know, 4 short weeks and we'll be into March before you know it. Time marches on and we thank our Heavenly Father for that. And before we go any further, why don't we thank Him right now in prayer and ask for His blessings on this evening's broadcast. Join me, won't you? Our Heavenly Father, we come to You, thankful, Lord, and in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we do say thank You, Lord. Thank You for the untold blessings that You continue to pour out upon us, Lord, both nationally and individually, Lord. And I thank You for the blessings that You have poured out upon me and my family, and Lord, on this ministry here, and Lord, the blessings that You bless the remnant with, Lord. Thank You, Father, for having, Lord, for having us. Thank You for opening our eyes, Lord. Thank You for opening our eyes and our ears to Your truth, to the truth of Your word, Lord, who You are, and Lord, and who You aren't. And we thank You for that. Father, guide and direct us. I ask for the Holy Spirit, Lord, to come upon me tonight, Lord, to guide and direct me. I ask You, Holy Spirit, to drop a chair here at the Radio Ranch broadcast booth and guide and direct me, direct my thoughts, direct my words, and Lord, let them be pleasing to You. That's my desire, O Father. It's my desire. Lord, let me have kindness. Let me show justice. Let me do my duty. Lord, we love You with all our heart, mind, and soul. Help us, O Father, as we continue on this path that You've put before us, as we continue on being about the Father's business. We thank You for that, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord, and help us to strengthen Your remnant. Help us to feed Your sheep. And Lord, help us to encourage one another, to love and good deeds, Lord, as we read Your word, as we apply Your word to our lives, to our life here, Lord, and to the current events that are around us, the time that we find ourselves in, O Lord. Help us to rightfully apply Your word. Lord, I pray for Your remnant. Lord, I pray for each and every one of all of the sheep of Your pasture, Lord, that they would look to You, the shepherd, that they would hear Your voice, and they would follow Your commands. Lord, we pray for this new president and vice president that we have in this country, Lord, that You would guide and direct them, that Your wisdom would be upon them, that they would search for Your will and desire Your will to be done, Lord. Help them to apply godly principles in the decisions that they make. Direct them down Your path as well, O Lord. And we pray all of this to the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. And amen. Well, folks, the program that I'm privileged to be able to bring to you tonight, we kind of subtitle it 7x70. That comes from Matthew 18. And if you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to turn there. I thought I'd take just a minute to read a few scriptures, not all of it, but again, just as a reminder, it does good. It's good for me to be reminded of these type things. And a couple of verses in Matthew 18 that I'd like to read, and part of it is it really just leads up to this forgiveness, and that's where the 7x70 comes from. But let's start. We'll start here in Matthew 18. And you know, the Bible, one thing we have to remember about the Bible is so much of it pertains to just how we are to live, pertains to our civil government, pertains to what we are to do and not do, not only individually, but collectively as well, you know, as members of society, as members of the church body, where we work, you know, in everything that we do, in every aspect of our life, it is our book of instruction, our guidance. And so when we read it, and I want to talk about the Bible reading plan in a little bit, but when we do read it, we are to apply it. And you know, if you read it yesterday, or you read this same verse last week. Well, when you read it again, you know, as we grow and new experiences come into our life, we have to remember, we have to go back to this book of instruction. You know, we don't just read it once and get it all down. And it is a living word. So when you go back and reread something you've read before from the scriptures, because it is a living word, there's many times that it will have a new and greater meaning to you. And so we encourage you to do that. We're going to start Matthew. We're going to read Matthew 18. I'm going to read verse 15 here through, I think, a couple verses here. Matthew 18:15 says, "If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother." And so, folks, if someone has sinned against you, or has just sinned and you've been made aware of it, it says here, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you've won your brother. Okay? And so go and have a private conversation. That's what it says to do. But if he doesn't listen to you, take one or two more with you. Sit by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Every fact may be confirmed. See, it's and there's elsewhere in the Bible that that two or three witnesses is a very important part of Scripture. Verse 17, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be unto you as a Gentile, it says, and a tax collector. And when you look and see what that means, that is, that is, you know, those that are not to be associated with, those not of the body. And so anyway, it just, that leads up to the 7 times 70. We skip ahead here to Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him and said to Jesus, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. And then Jesus teaches, he gives a parable about the kingdom of heaven. He says, "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to." Now, I'm not going to take the time to read all that tonight there in Matthew 18, verse 23 to the end of the chapter. But I encourage you to. Matthew 18, starting in, well, read the whole thing. If you have a problem, if you see others in sin, or if you have a problem with forgiveness, maybe somebody's done something against you and they don't deserve being forgiven. Well, read this. It applies there. Whether they deserve it or not, that's not the topic of Matthew 18. So I encourage you to read this because it's how Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven. We all want to be part of that kingdom of heaven. We want to make it into that kingdom of heaven. And so while we're preparing for that, we would like to have a little bit of that here. I know I would. Well, this is how we can do it. We can read from this. That's kind of the Christian foundation of the program, is this forgiveness that Christ teaches on here in Matthew 18 and elsewhere in the scriptures. But this is what we're talking about it here. And then it reminds us that if we want to be forgiven, we have to forgive. It's as simple as that. And as we forgive, it's kind of like judging. As we judge, we will be judged. That's that we read that in the scriptures. Well, as we forgive, we will be forgiven. And so I hope that hits home. It just was on my heart today to kind of mention that tonight to the remnant, is we do have to be a forgiving people. Doesn't mean we lay down and get rolled over and just and roll over and whatever the enemy or anybody wants to do to us, we just take it. That's not what's taught here, and that's not what I'm saying. But we are to have forgiveness in our life. And when we do forgive, as it says here, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? That's the type of people we are to be. Okay? Now, it doesn't mean that that's all we do. If we're in the, you know, if we find that we're forgiving quite a bit like that, well then, you know, there's other things we can be doing as well. Praying, searching the scriptures, rebuking, exhorting, those type things. That speaks of forgiveness. So we encourage you. You can also look at Mark 11, 25 and 26, over in Colossians 3, 12. That's just kind of for free. That was on my mind today. You know, we're here in February. We're reading through the book of Job. Hopefully you're using the Bible reading plan to help you read through the Bible. We are encouraging you to do that. And, you know, today is Job 9 and 10. And when I read that this morning, it's, you know, Job is, I've got a few things highlighted in the book of Job. And there's quite a bit through there that I think applies to all of us at different times in our life. You know, in Job 5, which was from yesterday, I have this, Job 5, 17 and 18, highlighted in my Bible, and it says, "Behold, how happy is the man whom God reproves." Now, that's the word of God, but, you know, we don't see that a lot out there. I sure don't feel happy. That's not the first thought that comes to my mind when a reproof or a rebuke or a reproach comes. But that's what it says. "Behold, how happy is the man whom God reproves. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty." Do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. "For he inflicts pain and gives relief. He wounds and his hands also heal." And so when you read through the book of Job, I would encourage you. That, again, that's Job 5, 17 and 18. "Behold, how happy is the man whom God reproves. Do not despise the discipline of the Almighty." And of course, we see that in other parts of the Bible, that it tells us that that these fiery ordeals and trials that we go through at times are for our training, for our teaching. But it reminds us of that in the book of Job as well. And so as you're reading through in the Bible reading plan, keep that as a reference. Keep that as a point of information when you're reading through Job, to remember that we are not to despise the discipline of the Almighty. You know, and that's kind of a, you know, when you get a little bit further in Job, you see that, you know, that God is going to finally start talking to Job and basically letting Job know that Job should just simply trust God in God's way. Because the Word tells us his ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are better than ours. And so, you know, when we read especially the book of Job and we try to reason it out, or we try to explain it out in human terms and in our human thinking, you can't do it. You just can't. Because it doesn't give the proper perspective. It doesn't give the proper honor to God. It just doesn't. You know, and when we read through and we see in the book of Job, we see the troubles that Job goes through. And it doesn't, although all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we understand that for sure. But the trouble that came upon Job is not necessarily a sign or a result of the specific sin in his life. Sometimes trouble comes. Trouble is allowed to come, as Satan was allowed to sift, or he sought to sift Peter. And Satan here was allowed to bring affliction upon Job, not just take away his blessings, but to bring physical affliction on him as well. And so, you know, when I read through, especially today, Job 9 and 10, and you know, it seemed to me, and the one word I wrote down was venting. Is that's what it seems like Job is doing? Is he's venting? Oh Lord, why me? And you know, we all get into that, and I think that it's in the Scriptures for that very reason. So that we can see that, yeah, Job vented. There's times that we do that. There's times that we just, oh Lord, why me? Why are you, why? Well, if you want the real answer, we've got to turn to the Word. And again, it's not necessarily because of specific sin that trouble may come, whether it's losing a job or a health problem or whatever that may come against, the storms that come against us in our lives, in our Christian lives, the storms that come against Christians, the evil thoughts that come into Christians' mind, the times that Christians may be, You know, there's times we want to be those sons of thunder. We want to be praying. We want to be the prayer warriors. And we are so thankful for the prayer warriors that we have that join us and joined us last night on the Wednesday night prayer meeting, and that get the email prayer chain that we send out throughout the week, and that pray for the remnant. We're so thankful for those prayer warriors that are doers of the word. And we read about a couple of those prayer warriors, that James and John, the sons of thunder. But you know, Christ told them at one time when they were going to call down fire on some people. And Jesus told them, you don't know what spirit you're of. Well, you know, there's times, maybe when we're venting, maybe when we're thinking things that we're not supposed to think, that we shouldn't think, that we don't know what spirit we're of. You know, that could happen. And so if and when that happens, just get back to the Word. And you know, a good way to determine, a good way to test the spirits, and this is not in Job, but a good way to test the spirits that I found is, you know, does the fruit of the thought you're thinking or the action you're wanting to do, is it going to bring part of that and be part of that abundant life that Jesus Christ brings? You know, he warns us. He says, I came to bring life and life abundant. And so if you're thinking a thought, if you're trying to determine if you're, you know, what direction to go, what to do, what not to do, is it going to encourage and bring you closer to that abundant life that Jesus Christ promised and that he brings and he delivers on? Or is it going to bring you more in line with what the thief comes to do? The thief, it says, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so we can test the spirits that way. Is this spirit, is this thought, is this action that I'm thinking about or wanting to do, is it going to result, is the fruit going to be stealing, killing, and destroying? Or is it going to bring me more abundant life and bring my family and my Christian friends and the Christian church and body abundant life? And so, regardless of what it is, whether it's looking for a new job, whether it's listening to gossip, thinking of something, you know, many times we've learned, and I'll share a teaching that I received in just a couple of weeks ago from a Christian brother. Many times the enemy will use in our thoughts and in our mind the I word. And we will think that it's I or me that had that thought or that came up with that idea. We have to test those spirits to see. Because the enemy many times will put thoughts into our minds, yes, into repentant, baptized Christians' minds, that they think is their thought. And then before you know it, you remember the pastor's I am confessionals. I am redeemed. I am a child of God. I am under no condemnation now that I am in Christ Jesus. See, those are good I ams. And those are good things to think. But you know, sometimes we might get other thoughts in our mind that we think are ours. We may think that I am fat, or I am not worthy, or that I am being punished for my sin, or that I am, and you can name a whole lot of them, I am supposed to have this high blood pressure because all my family has it. Well, no, that's not my thought. If it is, does that thought, if I claim, and I'll use that example because I've had to fight against this myself, because in the past I've had to fight high blood pressure. And I've had to fight claiming high blood pressure. But you know, now I've learned and I'm doing my best. I'm trying to change my habits, eating habits, but also my claiming the promises of God habits and my thoughts. You know, that's part of what I try to, as I put on the full armor of God, part of it, what we should do is we should take every lofty thought captive. We are destroying speculations and everything raised up against the promise and the grace and the and the goodness that we get from our God. And so I'm not claiming high blood pressure. Not at all. I don't want that thought. I don't want that physical affliction. I renounce it. I don't claim it. I'm a child of God. My strength is being renewed like the eagle. And see, there's power in those words. There's powers in what we claim and what we hold on to and in what we let and allow to hold on to us. I hope this is making sense to you there. It is to me. So I hope you listening in are kind of following along there. We kind of mentioned that in Job, and I guess that's what got me into that, into this train of thought is, you know, reading through Job, we just have to trust that God will work things out. You know, in Job 42:2, Job tells God, I know that thou canst do everything. You know, Job also alludes to Jesus Christ in Job 19:25. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. I know that too. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Hallelujah. And so Job knew his Redeemer lived. I know my Redeemer lives. You know, we live in a fallen world. Sometimes life's just tough. That's all there is to it. But we have the story of Job to go back. And, you know, don't try to read through it in a day. Read it. Read like the Bible reading plan is here. We started on the 29th. We've got about, 7 days of Job. Got a couple more days of it only. And so read it a couple of chapters a day and then ponder about it and think about it. You know, maybe we haven't had our family and our sheep and our oxen taken away from us. And maybe we don't have boils on us from head to toe. Well, praise God and thank God for that. But, you know, we have maybe lesser afflictions, but we can read through. We can see how Job responded, how Job cried out to God about it. God didn't just strike him down with a lightning bolt. God understood. God gave him an opportunity to kind of vent. And then, you know, we know how the story ends. God restores Job to greater than he was in the beginning. And so keep that in mind as well. Keep that as a point of reference, as well as this that we said earlier, do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. So when you're reading through not only Job, but all of the Bible, but especially the book of Job, remember that. Do not despise the chastening. Do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. Because, you know, he disciplines those he loves. Just as parents discipline their children that they love, or should. Well, that's Job. Maybe that's Richard venting a little bit as well. I don't know. I went to a local, we have a local men's group that gets together here in Laramie. On Wednesday morning, actually several groups, they get together for like Wednesday morning prayer meetings and prayer breakfasts. And yesterday morning, we talked a little bit about the book of Job, just about how, you know, it you can't understand it. If you just want to, you think you're going to read it and explain it in human terms or understand it with human understanding, and you're not. But, you know, if you ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding, if you read it with the intent of trying to understand it, putting yourself in Job's position. You know, knowing that he's venting, that he's crying out, that he's desiring something better. But he is persevering. He is understanding that Romans 8:28, God still works all things for good. You see that a little bit later in Job. I don't know that where we're reading now that Job himself has come to that conclusion yet. But he will. And so, you know, when we have turmoil or troubles or problems in our life, maybe we're at the point Job is here in Job 10, that he's just in despair. But understand that in your life, Christian, just as in Job's life and in my life, God will work this out if we persevere, if we endure, if we can claim, as Job did, that, you know, just as God inflicts pain at times, or pain is inflicted, God gives relief. And it's God's hands that heal. And it's His words that comfort. And it's His words, His living word, that bring that relief. And that give us that get us back on track, that get us back on the right direction. Anyway, okay, so hopefully you're reading your Bible. That's Job. That's your Bible reading for today. If you turn back to Matthew, we were at Matthew 18 earlier. Turn over a little bit to Matthew 23. Because I wanted to talk some current events. I think I've got time. Yeah, still got a little bit of time. Don't know if we'll get the phones opened up tonight or not. Probably won't. But we encourage you, to join us Saturday morning if you want to make a phone call in and talk to us. Saturday morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. That'll be at 7 a.m. Mountain Time on Saturday morning, 8 a.m. Central and 9 a.m. on the East Coast. And we'll have the phone lines open. And we encourage you to call in on Saturday morning and share your thoughts and your comments if we don't get to that today. When you look at the current events, we're a good solid week one into this new presidency, and I can't help but note, and a couple thoughts that I've got is, you know, things change in our lives. The times that we're in and the things that are around us, they do change. You know, our world changes, and it has certainly changed. We've talked about how we've sensed a new spirit in the land, a change in the spirit, a change in how people are thinking, a change in what people are saying, a change in what people are accepting, a change in what people are expecting and desiring. And so we are seeing a bit of a change. We can remember that in Psalms 46, and I know I had you turn to Matthew, that's where we're going to be in Matthew 23, but in Psalms 46 it says, "We will not fear though the earth should change, because God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble." And so remember that God is not just words in this Bible. He's not just words on a page, but He is, as it says, a very present help in trouble. And so that needs to help us remember that as the things around us change, that our God does not change. He has delivered us in the past, and He will deliver us today. He still desires us to repent and return to Him, to read this Bible, to see how it applies to us today, to hear how He wants to apply it to us today. Boy, one bit of current events that I just can't help but comment on is Chicago. Chicago shootings they continue to go up and up. And I guess it comes to mind again because our newly elected President Trump has basically said, listen, fix it or I'm going to fix it for you. But, you know, he's giving the people of Chicago, the leadership in Chicago, the opportunity and the mandate to fix this problem. You know, I read a report here. The number of homicides alone, killings, murder, in Chicago for the first week or for the first month of this year, for January 2017, averaged 1.8. And I know, how do you get a 0.8 killing? So it averages out to almost 2 people killed a day in Chicago. That's current. That's January numbers of 2017. So if you live in Chicago, ouch, you need to be prayed up. You need to be prayed up. And, you know, it's there are certain neighborhoods, certainly, in the big city of Chicago that are worse than others. Now, there's no doubt about that. But they've had, what's your headline, more than 300 people have been shot in the first 30 days of January 2017 in Chicago. Now, this isn't, you know, you can look at this one of two ways. One, it's lawlessness. It's out of control. There is no logical or sound reason why in a city in America that two people would be killed a day and over 300 shot. That's 10 a day. 10 people shot a day and two of those killed in January 2017 in Chicago. And I can tell you, it's just because there's lawlessness. It's absolute lawlessness. We hear peace, peace being preached. We hear peace, peace being put out and promoted. But the numbers say something else. And so there is no peace in Chicago. And you know, you can, again, you can look at this two ways. One is, well, there's just too many guns. Too many guns in the hands of criminals. And I would agree with that, that there's too many guns in the hands of criminals. But Chicago has one of the strictest handgun and long gun. They have some of the strictest gun control measures that there are. But, you know, folks, I mean, look at the numbers. The criminals, they don't pay attention to that. They're lawless anyway. They are lawless anyway. You know, the Bible tells us that we are worse than an infidel if we don't provide for our own. Now that, you know, that includes providing safety. And that applies across racial lines, and that applies across every line that is drawn here in America and here in for Christians, is that we are to provide for our own and to provide them a safe home, a safe place to be able to work and to live. And we don't have that. They certainly don't have it in Chicago. Now, it's pretty good out here in Laramie. It's pretty good down in Colorado. Not near as bad as it is out there. I had a... Let's see. I had... Oh, here it is. A little graph. About murder in American cities. And you know, you would think Chicago would be just right up there, but they're not. I mean, they're like in the top 20, but they're not number one. New Orleans, 46.9 murders per 100,000 people. Chicago's last year was only 16.4. Now, Chicago is already working really hard to exceed the 2016 murder and shooting numbers. And so when you have a new president that comes in, and here was a tweet that he sent out, a little social media, and he said, if Chicago doesn't fix the horrible carnage going on, 228 shootings, now it's over 300 in 2017 with 42 killings, now it's up to 54, I will send in the feds. Now, that's what President Trump has said. Now, whether it's right or wrong to send in the feds, the idea is Chicago. Rahm, I think, Emmanuel is the head honcho, head chief and bottle washer there in charge. Fix it. You got a problem, so fix it. You know, he's not forming a committee. He's not putting... $10 or $20 million into, you know, trying to improve neighborhoods. The president is saying, fix it. It's a problem. So fix it. It's as simple as that. You got to put more police on the street. Whatever you have to do, you have to get on your hands and knees and repent. You have to ask for help, whatever it is. But fix it. And I think that it's going out from this new president and this new administration as a, listen here, did you hear his inauguration where he talked about America first? Well, that means Americans. And part of that is, if when you have a city, and don't think that places like New Orleans and St. Louis that have higher murder rates than even Chicago does, don't think that those cities are not being looked at as well. Now, no, I'm not advocating martial law. Not at all. It's just the opposite. See, it's the federal government saying, listen here, cities, you got a problem, so fix it. And you know, St. Louis leads the pack. I mean, they're top three in murder in American cities, and they're number one in 20 from the numbers from 2015 anyway, in non-fatal shootings. And you know, this isn't shooting prairie dogs at in targets and jackrabbits like we do out here. And so, anyway, just a bit of current events that I thought I'd share with you that have just really been on my mind and have been hitting close to home with us. You know, you hate to see that. You know, you do. But it's facing the issues. And it's saying, listen, there's a problem here. We need to fix it. You know, for the last 12 years, these problems in St. Louis and New Orleans and Chicago didn't grow overnight. They didn't happen. You can't really blame them on the Trump administration because they've only been in office for a week. No, they've been growing and festering and getting worse and worse over the last 8 years when nothing has been done to help it other than want to take the lawful person's right to defend themselves away from them. You know, the left is just not happy. They're not happy about this first week of this new Trump administration. They're not happy about the new Supreme Court nominee. They're not happy about the wall being talked about. Oh, the left, these antichrists, these people that hate Jesus Christ and that are in full-blown rebellion, not just against the establishment of this country, not just against the new administration and the new president and vice president, but they are in full-blown rebellion to law, to lawful law. See, they don't like sin being called sin. And that's really at the root of what is starting to happen here. Lawlessness is being called lawlessness, and it's being shown, and we're seeing the left just go crazy about it. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm just a ranch wrangler. I work here at the ministry, and I do my best to be about the Father's business. And we're continuing on trying to get you, the remnant, just to have eyes to see, to look at things a little different than just how Fox News or CNN or whoever puts it out, okay? And so you see that, you know, when Time Magazine is reporting that Donald Trump held a very capital G, godly inauguration, that's Time Magazine. When they are reporting on that, you can bet your boots, throw in your spurs, or your hammer and nail puller and nail pouch, and if that's what you want to call, if that's what you use, if that's what applies, you can bet your boots that, you know, it's unprecedented. And this is, it's not so much to praise God and praise Donald Trump that when Time Magazine comes out on that, it's that they're giving that esoteric message as well to the left and to the anti and to those that hate God and hate his son, and hate all of us that follow him. You can bet that they're putting that message out to those people as well, is that Donald Trump held a good, godly inauguration. He didn't bow down and praise all the left wings, all the lawlessness in the land, like has happened the last 4, 8, 12, 16, 20 years. And so things have changed a little bit. There's a little change. We talked about that. We've felt it. We hear other people commenting on it. Saw this headline. It happened out at Portland Airport. And basically, it was a. I guess there's some big protests going on this past week at the airports. It's a Muslim travel ban, and it's an import of these illegal alien bans, an immigration ban, blah, 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 that's come out of this administration. Well, you know, maybe it is. Maybe it is, and maybe that's what's happened. But they had some, we hear all this about peaceful protest. Well, this in Portland was not a very peaceful protest. Says a 39-year-old Grant Chisholm, along with three other members of the Bible Believers Group. Now, I'd never heard of them until I saw this in the news. But, you know, that's a group I'd at least talk to. I'd at least, you know, I think we could find some common ground. We might not agree on everything, but I believe the Bible. So I guess I could, maybe I could be a part of that Bible believers group, or at least agree with them. Says 39-year-old Grant Chisholm, along with three other members of the Bible Believers Group, held a counter-protest supporting President Donald Trump's temporary immigration ban at the same time that 600 other people were protesting the ban. Now, how you like that? Three against 600 is kind of how that's how the news report came out. Chisholm said he was there to preach, and one of the demonstrators asked him for a fight. And then he was hit three times in the head with a metallic object by one of the Muslim immigration ban protesters. Says he told the Oregonian, "They almost killed me tonight." This was just this past week. I'm trying to see when this was. Oh, it was, yeah, maybe Tuesday when this came out. He ends up having to go to the hospital for a concussion. See, that's how friendly... That's how friendly and compassionate and tolerant these left-wing protesters are. And you know, the big protests have been this past week at, oh, coming against the wall. Oh, no wall. I saw pictures, I think, in yesterday or this morning about protesters in Japan. American protesters in Japan protesting the wall. Oh, we can't have a wall. Open borders. Yeah, you see how well those open borders have worked over in England and over in the UK. It's all but destroyed the European nations of Europe. All but destroyed. You know, I saw a news article here. I got a couple more here. I think I've got time to get through them here. About 10 or 12 minutes left. I remember, seems like I do anyway, but I remember this when it came up, but I've got to, I want to read this to you, and it comes from 2015. Canada agreed to pay for the new Detroit-Windsor Bridge, U.S. Customs building, and the access roads around the bridge in 2015, according to the Globe and the Mail. Ottawa failed to get the U.S. to pay for the $250 million customs building, and the Canadian government had already agreed to pay for 95% of the bridge's costs. The bridge is scheduled to be finished in 2020. In 2012, former Prime Minister Stephen Harper insisted the customs building was, quote, the responsibility of the U.S. government. Washington, D.C., and then President Obama only said the U.S. would operate and staff the building, not pay for it. And so Canada caved in and said, okay, we'll pay for it. The original agreement between Michigan and Canada, including a provision stating that if U.S. federal funds weren't available, Canada and its private partnerships would pay for it, according to CBC News. Now, that was back from 2012 to 2015, all this was going on. And so, I don't know, I haven't been out there to see the bridge. Maybe if you hear, you could send me in a note or a call or an email or sometime and let me know. I'll try to do a little follow-up on this. But I got this out of the news this past week. And so, you know, it was about a $2 billion border bridge between Michigan and Canada. And we had Canada pay for that. It worked. Not a problem, no uproar, no protests. I don't remember hearing anything about any big protest about this Canada having to pay for this access bridge on our northern border. But you know, when you have a president that sure seems like he's keeping his word, and you know, that's a righteous thing to do. That's something that if you've gotten our newsletter, Volume 1 of 2017, we talk in there about oaths. And we make a comment in there and that, you know, that seems to be part of the, you could summarize up, I think, Jesus' teaching on oaths as basically keep your word. If you say you're going to do something, then do it. You know, you don't have to swear by God or by heaven or by earth or by the hair on your head or anything else. Don't invoke anything else. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Well, we see that with our new president. He has said, he made campaign promises that he was going to build a wall. If elected, I'll build a wall on the southern border, he said. That's pretty close to a quote. Well, guess what? He got elected. And now it seems as if he's keeping his word. And he's talking about putting out bids for a wall, for a border wall that so many other nations and countries have. And oh, some people are just in an uproar about it. I got a note here, says President Trump signed an executive order Wednesday, that would be last week, starting the wall's construction. A nation without borders is not a nation. See, that's truth, and that's a quote by President Trump. A nation without borders is not a nation. See, that's part of what makes up the nation. If it's not, it's just a big landmass, like what we've seen has happened over in Europe. And so one big source of contention is President Trump saying that he's going to have Mexico pay for that wall. Now, it may be a payback. We understand that. But, oh, my gosh, even the president of Mexico, he's refusing to come up. And at first, anyway, he did last week. He refused to come up and meet with President Trump and even renegotiate. You know, President Trump said he was going to go back and renegotiate NAFTA. He's already signed us out of the TPP, which is a good deal for us. And then, you know, the latest I saw, the president of Mexico says, well, yes, we may have to renegotiate NAFTA. He's also threatening $50 million to defend illegals' rights to stay in this country. It's insanity. But see, I think things are getting a little clearer. I think people are seeing things a little better. That, hey, wait a minute, that don't make sense. That don't make sense. We don't want all the illegals. It's hard enough here. It's hard enough here. Life is hard enough with the taxes and just with working and paying for food and groceries, trying to keep your head above water, trying to let your light shine, trying to keep that light of Christ shining on the path ahead of you, right? I just, that were a couple things that came up in current events, and I think more current events will be covered Saturday morning, and the Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, we encourage you to tune in Saturday morning for that. But and I didn't really get to it, but in Matthew 23, you read about Phariseeism, and it's explained there by Jesus. And he talks about, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees have put themselves in the chairs of Moses, and he says, you know, do what they do, but don't do it how they do them, how they do it. And so I encourage you to read Matthew 23, because I think we're seeing that today. We are seeing this Phariseeism of, you know, these laws that we've seen. And what we're doing is now we're seeing the contrast. Now we're seeing some of them being repealed. Now the people are starting to see just how bad some of those have been, and how it's been this ruling class that have put these laws and burdens on everybody else, but they don't have to obey them. They don't obey them. That the laws and the things there for us. And see, that's what it comes out to me of these current events, of what people are seeing now, is, wait a minute here. You tell us you don't want a wall, but you know, you have a wall around your place. The Pope comes up and says, oh, no wall. You don't need a wall there, America. But, you know, there's a wall around the Vatican. And so people are starting to see that. And I say, praise the Lord for it. Praise the Lord for it. Well, folks, we're about out of time. Again, thanks for tuning in. I hope it wasn't too erratic. Had several things I wanted to cover that there in Matthew and also in Job. And, you know, again, just remember in your daily life, what we read in Job 5, 17 and 18. How happy is the man whom God reproves. Remember, God reproves those whom he loves. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. He inflicts pain and gives relief. He wounds, and his hands also heal. That's what he does. That's what he does. Read your Bible. We thank you, folks, for continuing your prayers and your support for us here at Scriptures for America as we continue doing our best, not perfect, but forgiven, but doing our best to be about the Father's business. And we do it because of your prayers and of your faithful support for us. If you'd like to write to us here at Scriptures for America, our address is Scriptures for America, or SFA, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado. That's L-A capital P-O-R-T-E, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Again, thank you, and may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless those of you that are his, bless you and keep you, make his face and countenance shine upon you, be gracious to you, lift up his countenance upon you. I'm going to go out with this song. Hey, you just got to keep going sometime. One foot in front of the other, you stumble, you get back up.
There's a sign there on your back. Says, I don't mind if you kick me. Seems like everybody has. Things go from bad to worse. You think they can't get worse than that, and then they do. You step off the straight and narrow, and you don't know where you are. Use the needle of your compass to sew up your broken heart. Ask directions from a genie in a bottle of Jim Beam, and she lies to you. That's when you learn the truth. If you're going through hell, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it, you might get out, for the devil even knows you're there. Well, I've been deep down in that darkness, I've been down to my last match, filled 100 different demons, breathing fire down my back. And I knew that if I stumbled, I'd fall right into the trap that they were laying. Yeah. But the good news is there's angels everywhere out on the street, holding out a hand to pull you back up on your feet. The ones that you've been dragging.
All right.